Resonant 104.4 FM.
It's 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon on Resonance FM. So here's the late lunch with Outer Lunch and Mordecai. Say hello, Mordecai. He's not saying hello at the minute. And an episode called The Artwork, in which I shall make explicit some superficially buried themes in these programmes by describing to you an imaginary artwork, one which haunts my waking hours, burdens my dreams and emerges in shocking gobbets each time I have sufficient undirected, unmanaged disposable time to develop a chromograph undominated by either directors or managers. But first, my theme tune itself, an imaginary fragment of a vast project object unrestrained by morals or budget, bursting with vectors no sensible house-trained piece of music would allow in. I.e., let's play Marc Guillemont's Make a Blues Noise Here yet again and doodle all over it with intuitive ejaculations summoned from the flinty heart of the sign beast known as Sid, the willful id. This is Ben Watson with Late Lunch with Outer Lunch and Mordecai. My brief this week is to describe an imaginary artwork. It's all a bit like the stumbling block it's indexed by B. Catling. But it hasn't yet been drained of its vital powers and its punch diminished by the advent of Ken Fox's inventory of Xerox, a text which took post-industrial vorticism down sweated internal corridors, immune to sniggers at the vain Alan Moresse pomp of the Catling imaginary. This thing I'm doing is vast, certainly, although you're persistently troubled by the idea that the whole thing is a corner of the plastic wrapper of a frozen beef pie blown up on a photocopier to ridiculous proportions, like the monstrous Hoover in Our Man in Havana. Darkness shrouds the most enticing parts of the composition, meat pie wells of black ink exuding frosty glints. In front, the sparks scatter down like the airbrush option in MS Paint, evoking the gold dust palm tree outfall of fireworks. White squares blink over the private parts of the model under investigation. The burlesque swirl of the major compositional thrust includes myriad advent calendar-style trapdoors, each one a portal to an imagistic universe of rancid jism with lotus blossoms on. My blotter reeks with greed as the inks are faxed by the kiss-and-tell tree. Makeup and ketchup carry no Morse codes to the market, where everyone meets under the cancerous sun of value. Symptomatically inclined, the rectilinear intrusion paints my retina with a white stripe, panhandles my oyster garden, and references Greek particles stuffed with red pepper and anguish. Angelina puts cream on her vagina as the wheelie bin circles the Hausfrau in dots. The artwork includes everything. The splits and spots are tremendous, leeching milk spatter over the black velvet of the abyss, where hearing's leash is strummed by powers stationary, the coloured crotchets beloved of band members. Here's a watering can, an ice cream cone, a pickaxe. Here's a roll of sellotape, a ballroom mask of furbelow. The separated world is stitched up with Gritfix, and the atomized breath you hold expires in an attic window, expunged with a black flannel. White-painted slats, face-painted sluts, hennaed slits, black as night slots in the snowpake. The artwork curls and luxuriates like foliage laminated to a closed-shop window, but the caterpillars and head lice have not yet been removed. The police are not massaging your scalp on a welcome retreat from some dye. It's frictive and absorptive. Leafless trees photographed against the sky scratch up like pubic hair. The pimple's dimple concaves the flesh surface, flushed with self-consciousness, fished by critique, teaks weeding the flowerbed. The useless recoils in a wet patch, proving the necessity of waste. Ace turns upside down in the ash cart, kingpin as lynch mob, as queendom as Jack Fancier in the Tengro. My tiny feelers hoping to white spot the grubby doom in the cloven hooftop encounter. Hope moves with a cutting device. The specified area lifted like skin and grafted back with a greedy plop. In a new window deliberately angled to the old. My cuts are unnervingly near the mixture which ails you. Those terrible shears you left in the shed, the sherry you crave to the gravy boat ending. It's snip, snip, snip to the ludicrous rescue as I rend your skies like a garment and read off the biblical warning printed on the underside of the crash helmet. With a crazy lazy, permit me to greet you appended in legalese, the scroll with its cascade of ribbons and seals. The composition begins with a main thrust, beautiful in its untamed ugliness, rough, proud and massive. Its verdant slopes and rocky outcrops give ample opportunity for play and gamble, and before you know it we're up to our kecks in curlicues of cliché, writhing icons snow-coning the belt line. Thus lust turns to mannerism in the black-white sadomasochism of Strawberry Beardsley, or was that auburn draw some on my leg plaster, and forget the stiffness in the stockpot. Each stipple was stubble on the lowered chin, every irksome local detail pushed right up against the perfected machinic lozenge, my crinkled lip on the shiny shoe. Be some in the temperance jar, my welksome fidget breaks up the self-evidence of the artwork, its greet gestures notwithstanding the drawing-room topiary. All secrets yearn for analysis, the light of day revealing a rosy rim, pulsating with insect scavenger lustitude. Craggy cosmic randomness busts up the game show, watching my piss cascade into the bowl, just the eye aspirin I need versus the tight entertainment capital of the world. They've shrunken my balls to retinal pods, something on the scale of an ant who pants to lick the fringe off of Jimmy Carl Black. Yeah.
baby buzz one more time.
In obscure corners of the artwork, snuck into the key pattern on the edging of the smocks worn by the slaves, you could even hear the blues. On the Elmore James side of the fence, fibres of white optics spangled with star barbs, you heard Mick Jagger, Ry Cooder and Charlie Watts from Jamming with Edward, an LP released on Rolling Stones Records in 1972. Meanwhile, in a Croatian tavern sketched on the other side of the border, a shack banged together using sheets of plywood, bent nails and a cartoon hammer, you could hear Slim Harpo's I'm a King Bee, sung by Jimmy Carl Black, accompanied by Eugene Shadbourne on electric guitar, from Uncle Jimmy's Master Plan, a CD release on Jimmy's Inconish label from 1995. The rapid-fire strokes of the sketch joker are stoked with genuine political passion, framing the blues in a new way devoid of the fetishism of authenticity, and instead proposing a new way to live and relate to others of our kind. Crumb-like despision of the art game trickles through the hatchwork. This is, though, but an incident in the general design, which is grand, polemical, and even plastic. A rock-face escarpment has been supplied with shark teeth, pointed and dangerous. These stark white triangles are like marks etched into clay by a Sumerian secretary, being both perfunctory and savage. We feel time's residues chew at our gut walls. Everything goes into this artwork because we are omnivores. All is grist to our moulinets, and anything can happen in the metabolic pool. The funnel is wide open. We forgot to screw the filter into the gas mask. An inverse cornucopia, everything goes in. Anne Boleyn, Henry VIII, cheese and onion crisps, Roger the Dodger, the meal ticket exploder. The one thing does stick in the craw of this artwork's feeding man-trap mandible, and that's the suggestion pinned to a Krispy Kreme donut by a certain John Cage, that we leave all this stuff unchanged because we are beyond caring about mere stuff, that we refuse to lift a saintly finger to alter our conditions. We care about it all deeply, Zenmeister Vacuface, so much so that we pulverise and transmutate and crumble down and fumble up and knead and node and nudify the contents of our ever-rippling stomachs, a perpetual peristalsis of ecstatic Stanley Gibbons. We chop and sort and organise, we embellish, fructify and eructate, we mush and mash and mix the ongoing onion stew. Evolution ensures that individuals of the species are equipped with a special muscle on the lower lip, using a section of hardened mucilage. Disagreeable ideologies are flipped out of the food stream and end up adorning the walls of the nest, a negative exhibition of rejected ejectamenta. This appears in a dark window at the foot of the artwork. We break it ill down to build it oil up, leaving B isn't in our rude vocabulary. We're invasive, dentated, pervasive, rotated, corrosive. We're imbricated. The artwork levels off into an infinite horizon of hipping and skipping and popping and slopping. There isn't a beyond the pail that's not used, nor a bucket that's not been plucked up and set down and clotted up with fine chiseled leavings from the organic chapter. In which we're in, pious men. We won't let John Cage turn us into innocent baby babbers, sniffing the napalm and calling it coffee. We send babies into bird cages to invoke the real Serema, where borrowed tongues salute the clean-up woman, since the unborrowed and unfurrowed is a desert without shelter. In the artwork, the real jostles side by side with fantasy, introducing fantastic discrepancies undreamed of by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Matter. Cyril. Right on, Cyril. Right on.
As you just heard, the artwork is also studded with jewels in the shape of R&B tracks recorded in the early 60s. Captain Beefheart and his magic band there rub shoulders with Cyril Davies, king of London blues scene harmonica, whose moniker has strangely been applied to London's very own Red Leg Surima. They're being provoked into his characteristic cry, which has been heard by zoo workers as far afield as Marylebone Road, by Mordecai. Both Cyrils push against the tympanum of the ear so it clangs metallically and violently, providing the kind of blinding light, noonday sun reflected in a sheet of polished zinc, necessary for the construction of our thrilling new artwork. These eye-piercing shards of brilliant white light arrive in Aztec zigzags, in beringed blobs, in oven gloves, in tortured wigwams, singeing the retina with sinister insignia. It's like passing a thorned cord through a hole in the tongue. But never was the primal so roly-polied up with everyday clutter and recent rubbish. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you all about it. Motes of ash float grey on antediluvial warm air currents. Take wing with a pterodactyl, a new meter for aching arch poet tasters. The artwork takes the long view. The shortness of its many close-ups is arranged in prickle patterns reminiscent of Persian rugs. Down at the pixel level, you can glean a crude comic strip with images of skulls, camels, roses, pyramids, nipples, wasps, ice cubes, any motif to pique the interest of the lax gazer or lucky geezer beating a low down to two on a mean tarot. There's eye work in Chinese characters. There's the official stamp for an imperial measure of beer. There's Thoth brandishing a pencil, a pumpkin in a coffin. But this stream of hallucinated pictographs has been used to picture something, something altogether less expected, nothing less than a picture of the suffering body from the inside out, as if Francis Bacon was anything to shout about. Bacon sandwiches made of cartoon crusts and dripping, echoing a corche down the Ewigkeit. Lurking behind a fallen ancient Greek capital, chipped acanthus leaves under unforgiving Argive sunlight, is a song Iggy Pop wrote at the same time as Now I Wanna Be Your Dog, but which Iggy and his advisers thought would be de trop to include on the first Stooges album. It reminds me of queuing in the Co-op on Cambridge Market in front of an old guy in a tattered suit and spattered tie, purchasing a can of Pal, meaty chunks in bone jelly, and a roll of cream crackers. So please enjoy Dog Food from Iggy Pop's Soldier album on Arista Records, with Ivan Kral and Steve New on guitars, Barry Andrews on keyboards, Glenn Matlock on bass, and Klaus Kruger on drums. Backing vocals are by Simple Minds and David Bowie, but despite that, it's still a great track, especially when set in poignant contrast to Evil Dick's backwards version of Idiot Bastard's Son.
Now they are web-land. Cover all, spend woody time were all green. Invert cut all down in the gin my ear and try boy. But attend a heat church that at spend woody time green in the cold when they chin my ear and try.
Now. We know it does, Evil.
As well as including tracks from Soldier, Iggy's notorious album on Arista Records from 1980, the artwork includes sound glyphs carved on minidisc, moments are ripped from the Heraclitean stream of everyday life and mounted on panels of brass and basalt. One such is a mouse poem by Out to Lunch, recorded at Coram's Fields in August 2009. Stylized teeth filed into points, globular eyeballs like fossilized pickled onions and flared nostril agony form the basic elements of these not infrequent cameos.
Temporary liaison Edworth. Ent whistle ZSL. Conurbated limestone. Oh. Input perceived as incomprehensible surface communicado. Red light, red light, nothing but red light. Screw it up tight. Intellectual paraphrase, overtly zoo-like. Because there's only one way straight to the path of love. Up your hairy vestrin.
Thank you. here's A Story for Radio by Iris Watson called Albie's Gone Away.
They've got Albie's love and gone away.
Tell us some more.
Albie Lovey's gone away to the land of Mexico, where he brought two flying birds, one by one in a day, but he covered the yoni yacht of the film. The day is night, the bright sky bent in day of force. The forky sent a bike up, the forky find a finger, 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 day one, then the bike. Going to the land of Mexico. He's going to the land of Mexico. Jumping up and down the streets. He's got wearing a golden map with golden teeth in his mouth and say, what do you think he might be doing? What do you think? Where the scarlet ibbots, the golden feathers, the red feathers. Did you know the scarlet ibbots?
Is that all?
Albie's sister and his mum, Jill and his friends, going up the river, up the stream and down the boat. That's finished.
That's beautiful.
When we get back home, I'll do a little bit more.
Okay, we'll add it on the end.
Field recordings made at Coram's Field sandwich the seventh movement from Yusuf Latif's Concerto for Yusuf Latif, issued in 1988, when Latif persuaded Atlantic Records that his auto-physio-psychic music could be marketed as New Age, thus fulfilling Johnny Black's original idea that New Age could be a term for new and uncategorizable additions to everyone's listening. Everywhere else, of course, New Age dwindled into a name for Tangerine Dream tributes and Margarine Ads soundtracks. As you've just heard, in the artwork, unchiseled documents of everyday life are placed next to crafted volutes, Polaroids mounted in gilded stucco. Occasionally, real life imitates art, leading to the glorious mise-en-abîme characteristic of those who put circumflexes on top of eyes and call it towering creativity. Disney-esque turrets sprout out of jagged breaks in the artwork's crust like poisonous snakes from the itching scalp of Medusa, each one hissing a carefully variegated price. The monitor lurks in its greenness, checking the primroses on the opposite hill. All recognisable imagery in the artwork is dreamlike, temporary, sexual, rather like the images on advertisement hoardings which loom over car-clogged streets. Everything, the cardboard roll inside the toilet tissue, the string of camels on the dune, the burlap cuff sticking out of the janitor's jacket, the cardboard fir tree impregnated with no-smell knockout drops, was put there on purpose. The ultimate sexual point of the whole place hot-rolled like a pig's curly weenie and bent into a caustic question mark with frills on. Down in the hen house, something stirred, but when Lascelles Perkins asked who's there, this is what he heard.
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up his barnyard with the greatest of care. Down in the hen house, something stirred when he shouted, who's there? This is what he heard. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself and stop your fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep and you bird in. And obble, 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 obble with your chin. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Nobody here at all. You're stomping around and shaking up ground. You're kicking up an awful dust. We chickens try to sleep and you got in. And obble, 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 it's a sin. Tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worm to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop your fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. Kindly point the gun the other way and obble, obble, obble over, hit the hay.
busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worm to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. There ain't nobody here with chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. Quietly point the gun the other way. And obble, obble, obble over, hit the hay. There ain't nobody here with chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself and stop the fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens try to sleep and you run in and obble, obble, obble over, hit the hay.
Tracks recorded for the Trojan label in 1973 rub up against field recordings of the Escalator at Camden Town Sainsbury's, recordings which sounded suspiciously like Kaiji Hino's work on Hurdy Gurdy, or the effect maybe of placing an ear next to a crack in the window of a car speeding up the M1 in the early 60s. The artwork will admit no governing niche, style, genre or conceptual category, no guiding light, just darkness enveloping the bathtub. It is anti-Nietzschean, anti-stylistics, anti-conceptual, hostile to relegation to the stupid person's pigeonhole. It throws tantrums when placed on a pedestal by the intelligent. It feeds pigeons with coloured grains of uncooked rice and maps the territory via multicoloured mandalas in guano. It refuses the by-numbers anti-humanism of the sound art crew in order to throw critical grenades into the audited auditoria of classical reliquary and folk non-movement. It's not happy at the South Bank and weeps at Cecil Sharp House. It breathes with pleasure the fumes on Camden High Street and adores the pop hip-hop they play in the 99p store. It cuts and copies and pastes in order to make everything its own. It's mobile, handy and super-manipulated, treasuring the abilities of the opposable thumb. It soars falls over the frozen commodity landscape like a handbill. It sours the milk of kindness. It stars over at the firmament and gasps. Its thumbprint is unique, same as every man's, and it peddles weird exotic perfumes for your ass. The artwork brooks no stoppages except mass walkouts versus threats to double pay on Sunday. It's gladsome and exuberant and won't sit still for cinema, TV or stand-up debate. It stops in the street to explain something to you. It gesticulates like a foreigner. It swears like an Englishman. It's placid and acid and rich and fantastic. It's revved up and bevved up and poor and self-pitying. It rides poverty sideways like chemotherapy on a cancer, gobbling up crab apples and spitting out special jellies.
Organisation is allowed in as ingredient, not recipe. I was once a bottle of ink. Inky, dinky, thinky, inky, blacky, inky, bottle of ink.
Organisation is allowed in as ingredient, not recipe. The artwork trusts to the self-organisation of materials but doesn't repress its own qual because it believes itself to be the prima materia. The artwork preens like Belladonna and pricks like Britney Spears. It has stickle bricks in its belly button, lobsters up and down its forehead, secret tutti-frutti scattered in genital pockets. It has no truck with billiard balls and forswears perfection. It has no time for all that phony stuff on sports, but as for your games, count them all into the interstices of its profusion. It prefers a rebus to a perfumo and loves to copy the elegant asymmetrical detail of hieroglyphs it isn't equipped to explain away as laundryless. It abhors a mystery but delights in the crooked imprint of sinful nature. Briars tangle up into the grey wash of the sky and boulders tumble down into the pitcher's limits, which limit is the starting point of another production, like Frank Zappa music, like childbirth, like the cosmos. It isn't like anything, and it doesn't like anything. It licks winksome nuggets out of the furze and the nettle bush. It craves the 19 different grass seeds found in the stomach of Iron Age man found in the peat. It has no time for difference. It's in love with something else by Cannonball Adderley, not by Miles. It percolates with an unfurled Iroquois headdress, pulverizes feathers in the seminal vesicle. The artwork is beautiful. It shouts at ugliness and captures it in its octopod tentacles. It's open to accident because accidents peek it into explaining the universe. It prizes bee stings over best stings and beeswax over honey. It's the best way to spend a holiday and it has no time for leisure pursuits. It's rancidly concerned with its own lissom jissom and tracks the individual down into its peculiar universality.
Do you like that one?
Now, what's your favourite butterfly? Let's talk about the butterfly bottom.
I like this purple and blue and grey one.
And I like that one.
The gold.
Is that a butterfly?
Not really. These are symmetrical.
Well, I like that one.
You like this one?
I like it. Let's fight over.
Tell me the colours on there.
Red, green, blue, black, brown, pink, orange, yellow, pink, and blue.
What about gold?
Gold, pink, and pink.
Pink.
I want to say something. Now you say something. Now what shall we say on that?
The
Please, I'm
going
to go to school.
When do you go to school?
In September.
Oh, early September. In about a week and a half. You won't be able to do radio anymore.
Daddy, I'm going to make the Tintin story to give it to you for your birthday.
Oh.
Give you the Tintin story I make.
Oh, what's Tintin going to do?
He's going to read it.
Oh. But what's he going to do in the story?
He's going to jump on a trampoline.
Like that?
You want me to sing you a song? Ba, ba, black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, I feel like one for the master.
And I'm afraid that's all we've got time for on this week's Late Lunch Without Lunch, an episode I called The Artwork, loosely based on screenfuls of visuals that I've been concocting late at night in black and white on an old PC using MS Paint, but also an attempt to explain the late lunch programme as a whole. If you like what you heard, please feel free to catch another glimpse of the strenuous totality next Wednesday on Resonance at 2 p.m. Thanks for listening. This is Ben Mordecai saying goodbye, and this is a repeat of Johnny Tronk's OST show.
You are listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. My name is Johnny Trunk. This is OST, the original soundtrack show, live from the Resonance studios here in sunny London Bridge on September the 12th. Do you know it's Corinne from Swing Out Sisters' birthday party today? Yes, it's on a boat.
She came into the studio. She did indeed.
She was lovely. She was lovely. And yes, it's her birthday party today. So happy birthday to... Because she was listening to Resonance last week. She texted me about Valerie Singleton. And she's, yes, it's her birthday. So happy birthday, Corinne from Swing Out Sisters.
Happy birthday, Corinne.
Yeah. Today we have a can special, just because there is a new Ermin Schmidt double CD set just come out. And we've got one of those to give away on the show today. But also, slightly disappointingly, I've forgotten, and I've just looked in my bag, I can't believe I've forgotten the first Ermin Schmidt 2 LP set, which I was going to play today because it's the most beautiful piano track on there, and I can't believe I've forgotten it. I'm just devastated, Michael. Anyway, so yes, can. I think interesting can because, of course, they're such a vastly influential band in lots of ways. Do you want to put the mic up, Michael?
Yeah.
Because I know Michael is a big can fan. Aren't
a can you? Fan, yeah.
A can fan. And I think we were the first station, weren't we, to play Agilochan
Lubbo
in the UK, I reckon, because we got that before it even.